If any human watched that video, the thing that they'd be most surprised is that we jumped it.
Black wheels. Just a full black wheel. And I'm talking satin black. I'm talking gloss black. I'm talking...
And I feel very sorry for you because you, like I, are cursed. Right. Welcome back to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin Klinkerberg, and William Chandler. I don't remember how to intro this. This is episode 3. I know that.
This is episode 3. Yeah. So this is the third.
The third of its name. Yeah. The first thing we always do in this podcast is work out whether cars have ruled everything around us this week or ruined everything around us this week. Will?
Do you know what? I'm bang in the middle of this one. I can't tell. Because we've been working on our... a 335 IBMW, which I'm going to get to later. But it for a moment, I wanted it gone. I wanted it dead. But then... something changed and now I love it again. So wow. Very temporarily, I'm still in camp rule.
Yeah, it's a very similar week for me because I also had to partake in trying to fix this car, but more so because cars have come and gone this week. There have been cars that have sold that we didn't win on, which made me very upset.
That's true.
And then cars that have potential that we may buy that have brought me back up.
Yeah.
And then there's also a car that I found personally that I want to buy, which is also make me excited.
On the seesaw of cars, we are... teetering in the middle somewhere.
And then also the Grand Tour brought it back down and I'm sad.
Oh yeah. Let's
get into it.
Let's get out of the way.
We may be a little bit behind everyone else because this podcast has taken a while to start.
Yeah.
So we may be a few weeks behind you. Some of you may have already watched it. Some of you won't have. So we'll try not to have any spoilers. Any big ones, at least.
Spoiler alert, it's sad.
It is sad.
If you don't find it sad, then you don't have a heart.
Yeah.
And you haven't spent the last 20 years of your life watching every episode of everything those three men have done.
Well, so this is the interesting thing. So you've been kind of keeping up with the Grand Tour since it was the Grand Tour, right?
Yes and no. I'd still think there are two or three of the the big trip ones that I actually haven't watched.
I see clips, and
I'm like, I've not seen that.
Yeah, same.
And I feel bad because I love everything they do, but there's been ones I've just missed because I actually didn't find them as interesting.
Yeah, but I think also part of that is because of the job we do, it pulls the mask off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of the things that are, you know, some of you guys at my home might watch and find normal, whereas I can already see the amount of work that would have had to go into it logistics-wise that mean it is scripted. Yeah. Not in a bad way, but I just know that for that to happen on a shoot, you'd have had to have scripted that.
Yeah. I still think the old one, they have that,
The magic.
The slightly more natural magic.
And
there was probably some scripting and they're obviously following some kind
of course.
Story, but there's a lot of stuff that it felt like it was just three guys
just doing stuff,
mucking around, whereas now obviously there's a bigger production. It's still funny. And also more importantly for Amazon and whoever else, everyone else believes it and they all think my mum will message me and be like, have you watched Grand Tour? It's amazing. I'm like, they're hitting that target.
That's what
they always have.
Yeah. No,
Which is why they are as good as they are.
Exactly.
You know,
unfortunately,
TV.
It's actually not for people like us anymore.
No.
It's for the widespread people. And some of you might watching who might be more casual car enjoyers, it's just up your street. Whereas people like us who go, that's actually not technically right. That's not the correct engine note for that. It's not for us. Our years were in the early Top Gear years. And if you want that sort of stuff now, luckily there's YouTube and you can go and get nerdy stuff. But I maybe even less so than you have watched the Grand Tours, maybe the last, I don't know, 5 years odd, I've watched half of one every now and then. But I said, I think I said this to you, I said it to my girlfriend as well. I will be watching the last episode with no one. I said, as much as I love you, I would like you to leave. So I can sit there and watch the final time I ever get to see these three on screen together by myself in a dark room. And that was a bad idea because I'll be completely real with you. There's a part at the end. I won't spoil it, but there's a part where they use some old footage from Top Gear days. And it's a match cut. It matches the exact shot from them now to when that. And it wrecked me. It destroyed me. And I had a little cry.
That was rough. There was one bit where it's again, no spoilers, but it's sort of towards the end when it's all kind of coming to, you know, the end. And there's a clip of James May driving along and I can't actually remember what he says. I don't want to remember it because it's just sad. But he looks like legit, genuinely, genuinely upset and sad. And he says something along the lines of, I hope you enjoyed it. I was like, James, mate, James, you silly bugger. Of course we bloody enjoyed it.
But Ben, behind the camera, made a very good point, and it's the exact point of it is, especially with like Richard's crashes, you see some emotion there. Mm. And Clarkson has always been quite good at having some emotion in it, but you never ever see any emotion from James May. Mm. That's something he just doesn't tend to show. And that's why that bit was so powerful, because it's like, I've never seen this person be this way before on camera. You so what, you know it's real.
I think when I was younger, James May, not my least favorite, because there's none I don't like, but I was like, I don't find him as funny. Now, I think
he's
my number one Grand Tour guy.
Yeah. And you know what it is? It's a bit like Jack. If you don't know Jack from All the Gear, who we work with, he's quick.
Yeah.
He's the first one in with a joke that you're like, that's a great joke.
Yeah.
And that's, as I've got older, the more you come to appreciate James May had the quickest jokes.
It's also because he's a clever dude.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all very, very clever, obviously, but he's got that pub quiz knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes him able to just whip out a response to do with anything. And obviously he's got the whole boring nerdy thing, but he's way more than that. And actually I think he's, and I've watched some of his other shows on Amazon as well, and he does the same thing there as well. Yeah. So you can apply it pretty much anywhere. And James is, I'd put him as my number one Grand Tour man.
My number one guy.
James, you have been promoted.
But that's it was an important episode though, because it's not like we're never going to see them again. You've got Richard doing The Smallest Cog. Mm. You've got James doing his gin stuff. You've got Clarkson doing the farm stuff. But it is special that is the last time, well, they say, that we'll ever see them together, especially doing car stuff. Maybe there's a comic relief. If we could get Top Ground Gear Force 2, I'd die happy. If you haven't watched it, for any of you who, maybe you've only just got into Top Gear and the Grand Tour, there is a very rare, because it was for a charity event in the UK. It wasn't an official Top Gear episode. The Top Gear trio, the Grand Tour trio, took over a gardening show where they modified.
Yeah.
What's the word? My brain only works in car terms. Renovated.
Restored.
Restored. Bonfired.
They did actually modify, because the garden was all right. They just upgraded. Well, they ruined it.
They ruined it. But so they went into a garden of a famous, who's he, a rower? Was it Steve Redgrave? That's the one. And they did it up. And obviously this is probably the most scripted of really anything. But it is still, for me, the best Top Gear episode ever. Mm. It's the funniest. It's also where "Look what you've done to my bloody shed, man" comes from, which is the best Top Gear quote for me. Yeah. So if you haven't watched it, go out and watch that. Best Top Gear episode ever.
Also, another classic James May timing bit in there is that a hoe? when Clarkson pulls out a shotgun.
Yeah.
That is. And there is that is one of the clips that summarizes those early Top Gear laughs.
Yeah.
It's no one asked him to say that. He just said it because it was funny. And you can see Clarkson and Hammond just pissing themselves laughing because they weren't expecting it. And it was just funny.
Yeah.
That was a liquid early Top Gear.
Speaking of, another recommendation if you haven't done it, and it's what I did the moment that I finished the last Grand Tour episode. I went onto YouTube and I typed in Top Gear laughs.
Oh, if you're ever sad.
That's a genuine thing I recommend. If I am ever sad, I go and watch that video. I think it's 14 minutes long from memory.
There's some with multiple parts.
Some are multiple, but the original one, Top Gear laughs, it will have millions of views. It is just a compilation of all of the most genuine laughter from the early Top Gears, and it will fix any mood you're in.
Yep.
Go ahead, try it. The moment you're feeling down, go watch that. You'll laugh, you'll smile.
They should put it on the end of a phone line.
Yeah.
You should be able to phone up. And you'd say, did that hurt? Well, yes, it hurt. And
it's gone back to Longbridge. You can just get those clips.
Any of the best lines, then that you're going to cheer up anyone. And if it doesn't cheer you up, then I don't think anything will.
No, nothing can.
Actually, you don't have anything inside if that doesn't make you laugh.
But speaking of the trio, something a bit surreal for us is we got invited recently. The video's gone out a few weeks ago now. But it came out last night for us, dating this podcast, where we got invited down to The Smallest Cog, to Richard Hammond's workshop, to bring our awful Porsche 911, which we built on our YouTube channel, Top Dead Center, for them to have a look. And then we went up and had a chat with Richard Hammond.
That was the weirdest experience.
Yeah. And it kind of stems from, it got me thinking last night after watching the Grand Tour, that when the flashback happened, when it cuts to the old footage, it genuinely, I could see myself sitting on my parents' carpet floor watching Top Gear at 8:30 on a Sunday night. And it also sent me straight back to sitting in that room with Rich Hammond going, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
Well, if you told
something in the middle of all this,
yeah,
has led to this.
If
point.
You told 10-year-old me, at some point you'll sit in a room, and it won't. In my head, I thought maybe one day I'll walk past him in a supermarket or something.
Yeah,
like in passing, I'll be like, "Whoa,
yeah,
that's the guy. That's my hero."
I remember seeing them at. I went to. They used to have a show in the UK. It used to be called MPH, and then it got switched to Top Gear Live.
Yeah,
it always had the trio as a part of it, and they had a live show. This was, I think, they had it at the. I'm not sure. It might be in the NEC, one of the big places in the UK. And they used to have a live show, and they used to do all sorts of different stunts. But like, oh, it was the best show. They bring out like all the current supercars. And again, this is before. Well, YouTube was around, but not in the way that we know it. And I was just like, that's the guys from Top Gear, and they were miles away.
Yeah,
from me. They were miles away, but they were there in the flesh and blood, driving around a Pagani and having a little argument on the stage. I was like, this is the best thing ever. And then 10, 15 years later, we're in Richard Hammond's
workshop,
and he's asking us how we've done so well and stuff. I'm like, bruh.
Yeah, making fun of us for buying shit cars.
As cringy as it is, I'm not sure. Obviously, someone else may have come along, but pretty much anyone on YouTube, they just wouldn't exist without Top Gear. It's been said a billion times.
Absolutely.
But it's less about the inspiration, but it's more like...
It's a homage.
They made cars accessible to everyone, and also made everyone realize, hang on, I can have a career making videos about cars because I like cars. And not just about this is how they work or this is how fast they are, but about the human element of it and how they enjoy them, and that it's about mates together messing about with stuff. Without that, you wouldn't have... How many people do you speak to that go, that's all they want to do?
Oh, absolutely.
From the moment I found Top Gear, I was like, I don't know how... Because obviously, I didn't really know about YouTube. I didn't really know about anything like that because it wasn't really a thing. Like, how the hell do I get to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to drive a Gallardo Superleggera with a couple of mates up and down some roads. I want to go and drive cheap Porsches to Slough. I want to do all of these things and get paid for it, even if you don't get paid for it. I mean, they've probably had the best career. I don't really think anyone is going to beat it.
Yeah, I also believe... I mean, this is very biased, but they are possibly the most influential TV presenters in the last 50 years odd. Yeah. Because, like what you say, without them, hundreds and thousands of people would be doing something different and would not be going after something. The thing for me, I was car nerd from day dot. 3 years old, I'm in the library looking up cars, just trying to find books with car pictures in it.
Mm.
Car and Top Gear slowly turned it from being a weird hobby to a popular hobby, something that was not cool, but something that was at least interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas before, if you're into cars, you're just,
it's a bit odd. Don't really want to talk. I mean, Clark Clarkson would actually, this is what kind of makes me laugh sometimes about like the, obviously people that like cars, they see like, you know, like especially Clarkson as a god, the amount of times Clarkson would actually like genuinely mock.
Enthusiast.
I'm talking about probably not far off what we are, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably not quite that far, I wouldn't say. I'm not like dressing up in the, you know, my full Renault gear when I go out at the weekend. But he would, you know, the whole anorak thing and the, and not wanting to go to dinner with those people and the Subaru people.
That I was about to say, the early days of Top Gear, the amount of jokes the Subaru Owners Club got, because apparently they would always buy some of the tickets and they'd try and kick them out because they were like, you're too nerdy for us. You need to get out of here.
And they joked, they said, before it started doing well, they just had the Subaru Owners Club on the live shows. But again, that is part of their appeal. Their appeal is that they're broad. Is that
you
can like cars, but your nan can watch it, or your mum.
Which is probably what a lot of you listening right now might relate to.
Yeah.
Maybe you are like us and you are literally born and bred. There is nothing else in your life you will ever want to do other than cars. In which case, I salute you and I feel very sorry for you because you, like I, are cursed. But maybe you're more, you know, only in the last few years you've become interested in cars. Channels like Donut and things have been just as instrumental in bringing people in and showing new people what cars can offer. That's just as cool. If you're just getting into it, enjoy. You've got a long road of being a nerd ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah, it's over for you, basically. Also, one more thing from me on that is I do think they did get a golden generation of car stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
They got, you know, like the sort of 80s, well, not the 80s, but
the cheap car stuff from the
80s. In terms of their age and in terms of like when they actually came into their prime and on TV, 80s through to sort of mid-2000s, 2010s, they got peak car.
Yeah.
I genuinely think it's harder now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because also, like, they are journalists.
Yeah.
They are journalists at the end of the day. It's something I think about this with like our stuff and lots of people on YouTube, and you see like other journalists or old school journalists get a bit stuffy about YouTube because in their eyes, we're not qualified.
No, yeah, exactly.
Which is possibly correct. I don't know. Like, we're just regular people that like cars and are getting into it by learning it and using YouTube and Google and other people and, you know, actual mechanics helping us and that kind of thing. Whereas journalists are like, I am a trained journalist.
Yeah.
Therefore, I am the final word on all things cars.
Exactly.
But obviously, that's also what makes the three so qualified to do what they do. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes with YouTube now, because lots of the YouTube stuff is just regular folk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my say.
Yeah. And good luck to them. And more than anything, thank you.
Yeah.
Because without you, we would not, I can promise you, not a single one of us would be sitting in here right now.
No.
That makes it sound like I wouldn't be alive. Jeremy Clarkson is my dad.
Possibly true. Also, if you want to come on the podcast, you're not listening.
But do.
But if you want to promote a gin show, a farming show, Richard Hammond, I mean, we've got his number, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we have his number.
Yeah.
He gave it.
Yeah.
Is it 01?
Oh, let me read it out. Hold on. Is it this one? Is it this one? No, I wasn't sure.
He just told us to leave afterwards. But yeah, meeting Richard Hammond was very cool, very surreal. Also, another thing on this, sorry, is we got Richard Hammond to look at our FTO. And I thought about this afterwards. And not only is it bizarre that our first ever meeting with Richard Hammond was having him look at one of the worst cars of all time, worst best cars. But also, I look back, there's a photo that Mike Fernie,
yep,
the presenter of Drive Tribe, sent. And it was you, me, and then Hammond on the other side of it. I was like, I've fulfilled a dream.
Genuinely.
I was like, that is,
I look
for
at that
a
photo.
Brief moment, I'm on Top Gear.
Yeah, I looked at that photo.
Very, very brief, but like, I laid in bed that night. I was like, done. That's cool. That's one of the best things I've done.
I genuinely are the same. I look at that photo quite often and think, wow.
That's just cool. Now I want James May and Clarkson.
And then we'll get them all back together and then we'll put a show all together. Right. Enough reminiscing about a thing that's only just ended.
Yeah.
What have we got next?
Crying. Speaking of the mainstream media and journalists, our Cadillac was in the Sun.
Yes, the one we talked about it on Lad Bible last week in the podcast. If you haven't listened to that, go and listen to that because it's very funny.
It's very funny.
It is an AI written piece about R, and they chose the most important parts. They chose our sponsored section of Car Vertical to talk about. But you found another one.
Yeah, so another one. It's in The Sun, which is a sort of mildly contentious newspaper.
It is a newspaper. It's not the actual Sun.
It's not the actual Sun. It has been in The Sun, actually,
yeah,
for a long time, judging by the paintwork. But this is in the actual Sun, a newspaper, or online anyway. And it's basically the exact same article.
But they left out the Car Vertical part.
They did leave that bit
out.
Well,
my favourite part about clearly what AI scrapes this and does it is that it, my surname is double-barreled. It's Klinkenberg hyphen Evans. Mm. It can't understand that.
No.
So it just calls me Edwin Evans.
Edwin Evans. And you mused.
And I muse about things. Yeah. The car's broken. Evans mused. Just a ridiculous thing that doesn't get written.
The title is Rust Bucket. I bought Facebook Marketplace's worst car. It's 20 foot long and doesn't fit on the road. But what I found in the boot haunts me.
Sorry. What I found in boot haunts me.
The car expert unveiled the worst car for sale.
Is that you? I think it's Ben behind the camera.
Surely that's neither of us. A petrol head.
Single. Well, there's okay, one of
we've
us.
We've been combined here. A petrol head who bought Facebook Marketplace's worst car was left stunned after he made a haunting discovery in the boot. Just to bear in mind, the thing I think we have discussed this before, but again, just for the Sun, as a statement from us, we joked, we mused
that
there was a bag in the boot that was covered in blood. And what did we say? Rust?
Yeah, it was red dust.
Yeah.
It was rust that was on the bag that looked like an old blood stain.
Yeah, and they've taken that as, or AI has taken that. If it's not AI, then shame on you. Like, that's a bad day at the office.
You made a really good point, though, after we got done filming last week, that it has to be AI, because if any human watched that video, the thing that they'd be most surprised is that we jumped it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Obviously, the AI would have heard us go,
Blues Brothers, here we go. And then laughing. And AI goes, that's not very funny.
Clear,
that's not very entertaining. The algorithm won't like that, but it will like blood. There's blood and dust in the boot. So, yeah. I mean, thanks for the sun.
You know. Please, any newspaper that wants to pick up any video, please do, because it's always quite funny, a funny read.
Yeah, please. And if you could get some of our sponsors in there as well, that's great. That's great.
Really good.
That's great for the sponsor deck that we send out. Anyway, so that's enough of our newfound fame in the newspapers. Music.
Yes, this is something I put in. We haven't actually talked about this yet. You may be wondering why this podcast is called Cream.
Why Cream?
Because Will and I are both fans of our 80s, 90s, and early 2000s hip hop and rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And Cash Rules Everything Around Me, one of the most famous of all of them.
Cream.
But something, because we listen to so much of this sort of music, I was having a discussion with my girlfriend recently, and I said that even if I didn't listen to rap music out of choice, I probably would have ended up listening to it, because it's so close to cars and car modifying. If you play any early 2000s game, PlayStation, Midnight Club, Need for Speed, there's lots of it in it because they talk about cars and modifying cars.
It's true.
So every week, I'm going to pull up a lyric of something maybe I've been listening to that week, and we can talk about just a song that has a mention of a car. And so this week is Mace, Feel So Good. Very good song. Again, we can't play it for copyright reasons, but go ahead and listen to it. And in verse two, we've got, little kids see me way out in DC with a Z3 chrome BBs. They want to be me.
Sorry.
Now, it's not BBSs. So I believe Mace believes that a BBS is a plural. So a single is a BB. I've got one BB wheel.
So if you get a full set,
you got BBS full set of BBs. Or BBs.
BBs, yeah. Okay.
But I just love, I like that usually in a rap song, it's, I've got, you know, an 8 series. I've got an S class. I've got CL, you know.
Something.
He went Z3.
Z3.
No, not necessarily even a Z3M. Didn't say a clown shoe. He just went, I got a Z3. But it's on chrome BBs. That's just interesting to me. It's
modified as well.
They always are.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to find someone talk about a Lamborghini doors? On an Escalade.
Modern rappers don't do that.
Well, they do, but
it's not interesting. Maybe it's just not interesting to us. It's grime, like early grime.
Early grime.
JME.
Yeah.
He mentions Jeremy Clarkson and Richard Hammond.
Yeah, he does.
They actually get a mention in a grime song.
And not only that, you get a mention of an X5 key fob.
X6.
Sorry, an X6. Wow, X6 that's bad.
Someone getting boxed in their mouth.
With an X6 key.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. So next week, Will, maybe anything you've been listening to during the week that you notice of a car mention, bring it in.
Bring
talk about it.
I'll try to keep it PG.
Yeah, well, it's going to need
that's
to.
The problem. But, there's lots of swearing and what's up. I normally listen to the... you know, sort of PG,
the
friendly stuff.
Family friendly one.
Find some car related.
So if you find a Z3 with chrome BBSs for sale in America,
BBs.
Probably, BBs. That's probably Mace's old car.
Maybe BBs is something we don't know about.
That also, that might be.
Do you know what BBs are?
We might be talking about something we shouldn't be.
That's no. Right. Next section. Ben, mate, you're up.
It's the forum. Now,
put me in.
For those of you that aren't aware, every week we do a thing called the forum. Now, like Will and I, we grew up on car forums. And that's where we learnt about most things. You go on there, you ask a question, you get shouted at and told to use the search function. And then someone nice comes in and explains the thing that you don't know about. And this section is exactly that. But for someone listening who might not be as into cars as we are, you may ask a question that you're too embarrassed to ask, something you don't want to ask in public. You can ask us and we'll explain it the best we can. Ben, behind the camera, as a more casual automotive enjoyer, is asking the questions for now, but we will involve, perhaps next week, we'll involve some of you guys and answer some of your questions. But Ben, please, take it away. What is a question you've been wondering?
Here we go. We've done technical, week one. We did last week.
Cultural.
Cultural. We got another sort of cultural one for you guys. It's more opinion-based, though.
Ooh, that's never good with us.
Okay. And you guys are strong on the opinion front, so I might get shouted at in a second, but we'll see. One car that's ever been built, delete from history. Ooh. Completely. Ooh. Never existed. No remnants of it. Just never.
It's just gone.
So it's gone.
It's a big question.
It is a big one.
Because if you delete one thing, you may delete many.
See, I was going to say it's similar to that. The first thing that pops to my head, and I don't want to get everyone upset about this, I was going to say MX5.
I was just thinking about that.
More because it would get rid of MX5 people.
Now, you're not thinking of the cars that, well, nothing really.
I'm thinking of the consequence of the car. Now, if you like MX5s, that's fine. But I'm talking about, you know the person that's, Miata's the answer. There's nothing better. An MX5 with wheels and suspension and a turbo and a bored out engine can be anything. That's the person I'm talking about. But my instant counterpoint to that is if you get rid of that person, they're just going to go to, if you get rid of that car, not the person, they're just going to go to another car.
But you wouldn't be here.
No, but this is my point.
Where would you have gone?
I would go to a different car.
But where would you go?
This is what I'm saying. That getting rid of an MX5 doesn't get rid of the problem, which is the person who's obsessed by the car.
So where would they go?
They'd move to the next car. It would be MR2s. They'd just swarm MR2s or something.
They're kind of there already, but yeah, yeah. I guess.
So
I see what you mean. But so you're actually looking to get rid of an entire fan base, not a car's.
I'm saying if we're just getting rid of the car, the person will find another car.
Oh, I see.
So, okay, so not worth it. Has to be a car that you just want rid of personally.
There are some, but I want to be wise with my answer. I would like to delete something early on, and then you lose its whole lineage.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right, as an example, I was just thinking of Mercedes ML.
Mm, then you get rid of...
One of the first kind of, well, basically the first kind of luxury
4x4
sort of fake off-roader type things, SAVs. You lose everything afterwards. But then that's also, someone might have come up with it anyway, but if we could have delayed it, we wouldn't get things like the Evoque.
Yeah, this is true.
We wouldn't get things like the Hyundai Tucson.
But then we also wouldn't have got other good, kind of not good, let's just call them cool.
But if they never existed, would you care?
That's a good point.
I don't think you... How many cars are there out there that if they never existed, you probably wouldn't care? You wouldn't think, if 4x4s didn't exist, other than for like what their purpose is, and that's off-roading, you wouldn't think, oh, I really wish I had one of those to drive around the small streets of England. I'm saying that as an owner of one. I own an old X5, which is basically actually similar to the ML. Kind of kicked off a trend, that and the Cayenne.
I'm going to say something really controversial.
Here we go.
I'm going to say it is the Cayenne. This is going to be so good. People are going to hate this.
You're about to kill Porsche.
If that's what I'm going for. Because if you get rid of the Cayenne, Porsche dies. Now, we lose out on... We'd still get the Carrera GT. We'd have the last few years of Carrera GT. They'd make that.
Okay.
And then you'd lose out on 997, 991, and 992. Now that's sad. But with the way it's looking like it's going, the new Macan, I can't endorse it.
Yeah, but Porsche, like, they're the only ones doing actual cool stuff. They put in 4-litre NA straight sixes and things.
But this is my point.
And you would straighten them out.
I'd lose those last years of really goodness to keep them as a whole being an incredible brand start to finish.
Yeah, but then they end up like Saab.
But what
do you remember Porsche? Yeah, there we go.
But exactly. But I'd rather that than them end up like BMW now, which is watching sadness in front of my eyes.
That's a good point.
I drove past the BMW dealership the other day, and never in my life have I driven past the BMW dealership and not stopped and gone, oh, that's cool. Oh, there's a new M8. There's a new M6. There's a new M5.
You wouldn't have any of the M cars?
Of the new ones, but even then, in new M3, I still can't do the grill. It's still not good to me.
Yeah.
M8, I can do an M8. But that's about it.
What else?
Don't like the new M5.
The Prius. If you lost the Prius as like an overall thing, like hybrid thing, would we never end up with a LaFerrari or a 918?
That's a good point. Ben, mate, this is not the question. You didn't think this question would have the consequence it did.
No, I've sent your head crazy.
This
right now.
Is well, not
I,
good.
I have one though. Can I interject with this?
Here
one,
we
right?
go, Ben.
Is it a brown E61?
No, that's the only car that you know.
We all wish that didn't exist.
Even the first owner.
Right. People will get a drag for this shit, but Tesla Roadster, the original.
Oh,
because,
Ben.
And it's not because I don't want to be the person that's like, oh, Tesla's a crap. Oh. I think it's because if that hadn't existed, Tesla wouldn't have got as big as it is.
Yeah.
Battery technology wouldn't have got as good as it is. And then other manufacturers wouldn't be making these electric cars.
I think Elon Musk is too tough. He's too tough for that. I think because it was a fail. The Tesla Roadster was a fail. Mm. And he took that L. He put the L in Elon and Tesla. And he took it and he's turned it into a W. And now that guy is on world domination.
That's true. It probably would end up being the same. But for the attempt, I'm on board with it.
Perhaps, perhaps a Model S.
Nikolai Tesla.
Yeah.
We just had no electricity.
Yeah. Also, what are you going to name your company now, Elon?
Also, we asked for a car to get rid of. Nikolai Tesla is now a more.
You're just killing people.
You're now just a murderer.
Wait, yeah. No, but I mean, okay, fine. A Model S then. The first big Tesla.
Now
because then I don't think that would have sped up the technology to now mean that we're going to have things banned and regulations coming. Everything's hybrid and all that.
Ben's thinking.
I do like that.
Ben's got the thought.
Yeah. I don't want to be
what
against
the leaf.
The leaf. Yeah, but that came from the
trees
stuff.
In autumn for no reason.
also, it brings on the question, is it leaf? Are multiple Nissan Leafs leaves?
Lives.
Leaves.
Leafs.
Anyway, back to
yeah, no, I just think, I'm not against electric cars fully, but I think that, I've driven a couple of Teslas, they're okay.
Ben, you're an eco-anarchist. You go around unplugging people's electric cars at night.
Yeah,
and you get your Diesel 5 Series and plow down the motorway with a big black cloud behind you.
You deleted your DPF, right, Ben?
Yeah, my EGR.
EGR.
Whoa, police. Let her go.
Right, if you ever see Ben on the road, his car is brown and so it's everything coming out of his exhaust pipe and the base of his seat as well. It's actually brown inside.
It's not brown inside.
Nice.
It's cream.
We're not at the argument yet.
It's brown smelling.
No. What was it you said about your original X5 before you binned it, which was that it was sort of greeny brown?
That's what I said. Yeah, it went from smelling brown to green.
Yeah, so it now smells, I reckon, a light green.
No, I think a light brown.
No.
Yeah, I think it's a light brown.
But you sprayed over it with like Febreze or something.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you, Ben, for that.
That's all right.
Did we have yours as Cayenne?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. I want Porsche to end on a high. The Carrera GT be their last thing that they were.
I would delete either that or the X5 or the ML. Or actually, the most recent C63.
The turbo one?
Because that is a...
Oh, the four-cylinder one, sorry.
The four-cylinder one.
Yeah.
That is a black mark on Mercedes history.
And I agree for him on the history part, but do you not also think it's a good lesson? It's a lesson in them going... We're going to try this. Sorry. If you're going to try this and then it going really badly and then going, oops.
Also, have you seen one?
No.
Not seen one.
But I
actually don't know what it looks like.
I don't know that that's 100% true, but I believe they're now going back to V8.
Are they?
I remember there was some talk about it. If they do, then I'm on board with the four cylinder.
Mercedes, if you're... Yeah, because sometimes you got to take a backward step to make a forward step.
Take your lumps, learn your lesson.
Yeah.
Off you go.
And then they'll do the V8 one and...
Nobody will buy that one.
Nobody will buy it. And it'll be a fee. Yeah, it's tough to hear. You cannot go 6.2 V8 to 4-litre twin turbo. Fine. Still kind of cool. Very fast. Sounds good. Then you go, you know what? 2-litre turbo, mate.
Because BMW, they are all about performance. They just care about doing the fastest lap time. That's how they sell all of their cars. Whereas Mercedes, and especially AMG, has always been, we make a refined luxury car, but we make it with a load of power, so it's a little bit silly. Mercedes, apart from, you know, AMG GTs, they're not the Nürburgring. They are, but they're not shouting about, we're doing Nürburgring times.
Yeah.
So why have you taken a car that is only about refinement and V8 power and gone, oh, we're focusing on performance. It's for four-cylinder performance.
It's its selling point.
That's the only reason anyone's buying an AMG over an M car is for V8.
Yeah, so of modern cars, that's what I'm deleting. Not because it would make a massive difference, but because... For Mercedes' sake, I haven't got to talk about it. That is a car that in years to come, if we ever end up going back to petrol and we find loads of oil under the ground that we didn't know we had, Mercedes are erasing that.
Yeah,
and they said, have you never made that?
Yeah.
Four cylinder.
They're going to erase the period in the early 2020s and the 1930s, and we're off.
Every 100 years, they make a couple of mistakes.
No, don't hold that in the collection.
They're getting better. They are getting better at the mistakes.
Yeah.
Can you say that?
Probably not.
Anyway, there you go. Is that answered?
That is answered. I wanted to say another thing as well quickly. I was just remembered. You know, you talk about BMW design.
Yeah.
Have you seen the news
Yeah, the Polestar man.
They've moved all the designers around.
Yeah. So the man that designed the BMW X5 in the Mini, go and search that clip up if you don't know about it. Very good
one. I'm not cutting that.
No, please don't, Ben. The man who designs BMWs right now has been moved to Rolls-Royce.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Done for Rolls-Royce.
And they got big Rolls already, so he's at home.
Yeah, he said, make them bigger. And then the man who designed the Polestar, including, you know, the concept, the really cool speedster thing?
I think they're good looking cars.
He's moved over to design BMW.
Okay.
And he said, I read an article about this, Top Gear interviewed. I don't believe it was him, but I believe it was the head of, or something to do with the design at BMW. They said, we're not backing down, but we understand it's been polarizing. They are preparing for, it's what they call the Neue Klasse, which means the new class.
Which is what they did before.
They did it in the 50s, 60s.
History's repeating itself.
Exactly. Mm. To redefine the next years of BMW. And that redesign gave us 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s that we love. Okay. So if they get this right and they, you know, do a nice new fresh redesign, that means we're set for the next bit.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So it could be good.
I will give them a chance.
Yeah.
I actually...
We'll have a look.
I don't hate the most.
We'll certainly have a look.
I don't hate the most recent stuff. I hold the M3 and the M4. I prefer the way that looks to the M2 and the new M5.
Oh,
other than the grills,
I thought you were going to say the F80, and I would
no. The F80 is peak M car design. I think angry. Chris Harris talked about this. I think on Joe Rogan, where he said an M car to everyone else, you can't know what it is.
Exactly.
Like everyone else goes, oh, you got a nice BMW 3 Series. Lovely. But everyone else, me, you,
who
and
knows?
Me and Ben goes, oh, he's got blistered arches.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a little vent there. Oh, has he got this option? Oh, he's got the different wheels. Oh, a little bit of camber and such. And he's got performance seats and whatever else. That's the good thing about an M car. Oh, I do think the new ones, they're quite leery.
But I think that's my problem with the new design language. Because I like a car to be a little bit understated. I don't want it to announce itself. And I get it that because the cars are getting so big now, it's hard to make them look svelte and make them look, you know, understated but angry. They're just angry. And they're good at doing that. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
If you see like a new M2, even a new M2, a little bit of lows and wide wheels, that's an angry looking thing.
Give me an E92.
Give me the E60.
New M5 now. I'm sure it's great.
Will's Car Reviews.
Sure it's great. BMW, if you want to give us one, you won't.
Please.
You're not watching and you don't care. L for me. But I don't like the way it looks. So if you want me to prove you wrong.
Give it to me for a year.
If you want to prove you right, prove me wrong.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll have one. We'll take it apart or something. Next up. No, we've answered that question, I think, from Ben.
Yep.
Yeah. Want of the week.
Oh, this is good.
This is a new addition.
This is
to the podcast, and this is quite a natural integration because this could be want of the day.
An hour.
Want of the morning.
Morning, yeah.
You wake up and go, I could wake up one morning and go, do you know what? I would quite like
I need this.
A Audi RS6. And by the evening, I would like a Vauxhall VX220.
Yeah.
And there's no reason.
No, exactly. And don't worry, if you're watching this and you do the same thing, you want 1,000 cars a day with no funds to buy them, that's okay.
That's fine.
We all do this. Yeah. We all do it. So that's allowed. So, Will, what's your want of the week?
My current want of the week, and actually this has been a slow burner over many years, is a C63. 6.2. Which is what made me think about the turbocharged awful one. But the 6.2 one, I would quite like a 4 litre, but they're quite a lot more money. But the 6.2 litre saloon facelift.
That's it.
6.2 litre.
Have to own it.
It's America.
Yeah.
America are looking at it going, hell yeah, brother.
That's a little family car.
Those goddamn Europeans know what they're doing.
6.2. Nice little family eco car.
500 horsepower. How'd you do that? But C63 of that generation, just angry enough.
Yeah.
And leery enough. To be proper AMG. That's peak AMG.
Exactly.
6.2 litre car, 6.2 litre engine in a, what is basically like a medium-sized car.
Yeah.
That's peak car. Big engine, small-ish car.
Performance pack, please. LSD. I need the LSD. Here we go. Fact of the day?
Don't have one.
Okay.
Don't have one. I was about to say potentially that the LSD is in the base model.
Interesting.
And that the performance pack has an E-diff. that could be the next generation.
No, I think that is, yeah, because I think the performance pack is how you get a mechanical LSD in them. It, correct us in the comments. Also, this is what Will and I do.
Yeah.
Please refer to Ben behind. This is what Will and I do when you're trying to ask us anything about work at any time. We are arguing or trying to work out some spec about a car. It's why no work gets done.
So that was my first one. And it comes from, so I used to have an E92 M3, which is like basically the guy. It was the opposite to the C63 back then. We're both more BMW, I think.
Yeah.
But I want to give the C63 a go. But on Collecting Cars, which is an auction site, there came up a supercharged M3.
And you used to have a supercharged
M3. I did used to have a supercharged M3, and it was very cool. It's cool. Also, you have a supercharged car.
Yeah, that's cool.
Who else has that? Not many people have supercharged cars. You can go, it's an M3. That's quite cool. It's supercharged.
Yeah. Oh.
And then, you know, guys that are on the forums and who are spending all their time doing stuff that we do go, whoa.
Oh, hello, mate. Is it an ESS? Is it a 650 or is it a 550?
Is that a GTEC kit?
Now,
or
is it? These are centrifugal, right? What's the oil that you have to service?
PSI, right?
I know the Rotrex is you have to service the oil much more often. Yeah, quite a lot more, right?
Yeah, no, but ESS has actually got a very small oil
reservoir. Oh, interesting. Okay, that's fine.
Yes. Yeah. But it's a very expensive kit, supercharged kit. It's like, if you did it new, it costs you about 10 to 15 grand, depending on how many options you do. But a supercharged M3, it means you're not getting gaperonied by
335s like you outside.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you haven't mentioned the best part about that car.
Oh, it's yellow.
It's Dakar yellow.
It's Dakar yellow. And it's got these little yellow bits on the seats, which is a bit leery, but...
That is that colour.
That's good.
I like you. Well, firstly,
you like me.
See, I you're right. Unlike you, though, you go for nicer cars. It has to be said that Will, your baseline of car tends to be one that's a lower mileage, a nicer car,
working
car. Mm. I, however, put me on bad day to be a Copart login. It is you put me on that site. I'm looking around. I'm leaving with something, and
I'm from round the way
exactly. And I went on there. Yesterday, last night, got home, long day, 10 p.m, 11 p.m, should go to bed. Boot up Copart. And on there, let me paint you this picture. There is a 90s Bentley Continental. Now, a lot of you might not know that exists. This is before the early 2000s Bentley, like the one Matt Armstrong repaired. Before that generation. Again, two-door. Really, really nice. Don't know what it is.
Very long.
It's the English, what do you call it?
Cadillac
Royalist. No, the Royalist inside of me. The one that's, you know, obsessed with England. It's patriotic. That's the word I'm looking for.
Classical music and some England.
Two-door Bentley Continental on Copart. It has fire damage to the front end. Quite bad fire damage. And in my head for years, I have a photo that I've built myself that is a Bentley Continental like that, but on Aston Martin V550 wheels, the cool twin supercharged car. But in the place of the engine that it has, which I think is a 6.75, the classic Bentley engine, I might be wrong on that.
That should be enough.
Is a Hellcat engine.
That's crazy.
Mated to an automatic. So you can still use it day to day. You can go around just, you know, wafting around the back roads of England. But should you want to be leery, you can tread a set of tyres in minutes. That's a genuine top tier, top shelf dream build for me. And this car on Copart is the perfect base. But there's one single issue. It's a Category B write-off.
Absolutely.
Which means that you cannot buy that car unless you have a scrap license. And if you do, either way, if you do or you don't, and you're to buy that car, the government wants to see that car crushed at the end of it. You can take some parts off it, but you may never have that car on the road again. And that makes me really sad. If that was a Cat S car, I'd sell all of my possessions and buy it. And stick it in a shed until
just to be long.
Just to be long, but with so much power.
I'm not as keen on those. Bentleys aren't really my thing. And that one, I don't know, there's something about that that's a little bit too old for me. But the Bentley Brooklands.
Yeah, same.
I think regularly about the Clarkson review of that.
Yeah, with just the title.
Where he talks about, I can't remember what he calls it, but something along the lines of calling it basically racing a cathedral around a track.
Yeah.
But it actually just burning through a set of tyres, but being in a Bentley.
Just and doing a
turbo?
That.
I think a twin turbo?
I think the Brooklands are.
That's the turbo, and it's just that is.
But that's that. But imagine that with a Hellcat. Imagine that with the.
but I think it's nice to do that in silence.
No, I need it loud. I want it making dumb supercharger noises.
Do you want to get in the Bentley? Get in the Bentley.
Jump in the Bentley.
Jump in the Bentley.
But I'm going to the takeover.
Sorry, I must put the seat forward so you can get in the back.
Yeah.
Excellent. Are you all in?
Yeah, we're going to... That's what I want. That's what I need.
It's kind of cool, but also it's not very Bentley.
No, that's why I want it.
It's a nice little cross this pond.
Exactly.
Little collab.
It's the perfect cross. And then so there's that. And then the other thing that I found, and there may be a video coming on this soon, because I might just go and buy it. Also, saying this on a podcast means that I kind of need to go and buy it now, because I'm telling people about it.
They don't know where it is, though.
So that's true. So it's on, it's on one of the sites. It is a Mercedes SL that is red. Two things that anyone that knows me are things that I hate.
Is this John?
It's John, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never been a Mercedes man, and I hate red cars. The Beat is the only exception, but I will get rid of that. I won't get rid of the Beat. I'll get rid of the color on my Honda Beat. And it's the paintwork is horrible. It's scuffed. It's a Cat C car, so it's been crashed. But I want it for some reason. As a winter daily, I want to buy, and it has on the back of it in Halfords letters, you know, letters you'd buy off Amazon, the name John. It's John the Mercedes. So we might need to go and buy John.
What was the car we went to?
Toby the TT.
This was one of the first interactions me and Edwin had outside of work. Edwin said to me at work, when we used to work at a previous channel ages ago, this is getting on for probably like 8 years ago or some shit. And Edwin said, there's a TT convertible.
It was a convertible Quattro 180.
Somewhere in Hounslow?
Near where you live.
Yeah, so it was a car dealer. It was a questionable car dealer.
It was a bad car dealer.
You wouldn't buy a car from there. You wouldn't.
But it was cheap.
This TT was just sort of out the back somewhere. We went to look at it and it said on the back.
Toby. It was Toby the TT.
Toby the TT.
And I asked the guy, I said, I think it was up for 1500 quid or something like that. And I wanted to pay less than a grand. And I walked into they have one of those little porter cabins where they do all the, you know, all the business in there. I said, look, what's the movement on price on this? And this is, you know, 18-year-old me. I'm still new to car deals. Yeah. I'm not as seasoned as I was, not as shrewd. I haven't watched as much Ed Bolian. So I did, you know, I wasn't as good at the negotiation. And I went, what's the movement on the price? And the guy went, none. And I stood there in silence and then went, okay, well, thanks. And then left. That was it. I didn't even counter. I just left.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah. And I think he was just as shocked. I think he probably thought it was a power play.
Yeah.
So I just went, all right, mate, I'm leaving.
Yeah, he's going to call me and give me an offer.
Yeah. But in actual fact, I just got back in your car and went, all right, let's go.
No, it's too expensive.
Yes, he's not taking the money.
A deal can't be done.
No.
I tried my best. I pushed and I pushed.
I pushed once.
I pushed. And
that's it. that's my one. And then obviously Evos. Always Evos. Evo 5.
Evos. The worry, and this is with the many cars, many, many cars. The worry is that there are lots of cars that obviously we liked growing up, but there are lots of other people liked them growing up. And lots
please
of
stop.
Other people are getting money at an alarming rate.
Yeah, please stop liking the things we like.
They're growing up, they've got good jobs, they're making lots of
bread.
Rambunctious bread. And they're going to buy those things. And this is what happens. It's like a cycle. Is that there are cars you want at 17, you get to 27, 37, 47, and all of a sudden those cars are 900 million thousand pounds. I would love an Escort Cosworth, but they're £1 million.
Yep.
And if I have one that's £50,000, £60,000, one, I'm not spending that on an Escort clip.
if you're from America, an Escort is a car sold in the UK.
And not what I'm talking about. I'm not spending that. And also, you're not going to abuse it. And that car needs to have its head kicked in, as does an Evo.
This, I was going to say, that's. But also, you found something this week that we didn't talk about. Very akin to that is a Lancia Delta, and when I tell you you ruined my week, I genuinely mean you ruined my week. While we were on our way last week, we mentioned talking about a Clio V6. We were on the way up, and Will mentioned, "Oh, on collecting cars, there was a blue Lancia Delta Evo 2 that went through," and I many years ago had a friend who had some money that he wanted to invest. He'd come into some money, and he said, is importing cars from Japan worth it? I said, yeah, there's some money in that. He said, okay, what if I give you a load of money, you import a car, sell it, and we'll split the profits? And I was like, this is an amazing deal. I don't have to use my own money to buy a car that I think is cool and then bring it here, do some work on it, sell it. So I said to him, let's bring something in, because they love left-hand drive cars in Japan. this is a bit of knowledge for those of you that don't know. Japan likes to likes a car to be the side drive, left-hand drive or right-hand drive, of the country it was built in. So if you buy a BMW M3 in Japan, a lot of the time it will be left-hand drive because they believe it's the way it should have been ordered. It's the way it was built. Even though they're a right-hand drive country, they want a left-hand drive, which is why you see lots of weird specs in Japan. So I looked for something that was only sold left-hand drive. It would make it easier to sell. Hard to sell a left-hand drive M3 in the UK when you can get lots of right-hand drives. And I found out the Lancia Delta Evo 2 was only left-hand drive. So I searched high and low, and one popped up one night, going cheap as far as they do go. We bought it, and it was a Lord Blue Lancia Delta Evo 2. And I was, you can ask Will, I was the most excited human in the world. Because on a boat from Japan was a Lancia Delta on its way to me in the UK as an 18-year-old. And I was like, what's going on? I'm going to have this car for a bit. And so I did it up. And I had it with me for a while. It was never my car. Sold it. I made a couple thousand pounds of profit. I was happy with it. I got to kind of have a Lancia Delta for a while. And I think we sold it for mid £30,000, maybe 38, 39 at the time.
Which is good then.
Call it 40, yeah. which is great money at the time. I think we brought it in for maybe 35. And Will told me about this Lancia. I went on to collecting cars. And it turned out it was my old Lancia Delta.
It was too much of a coincidence. I saw it and it said it was Lord Blue?
Lord Blue.
Lord Blue with like the tan, and it was an Evo 2, and it was the Japanese ones have got the smaller
headlights, the early headlights.
And like all the dates lined up. I was like, if there's another one, like that's an input, that's a import, sorry, you know, and came in the similar year. I was like, it's a bit of a coincidence.
Yeah.
So I told Edwin about it, and also it sold.
It sold.
For a small profit.
It sold for £75,000.
And the worst part of that is that price is going to keep going
up. Yeah. So that's the reason I bring this up, is that the reason that I asked my mate if we could buy that car was because that is one of my genuine all-time dream cars. A Lancia Delta is one of the coolest cars in the world to me, like an Escort Cosworth is to you. They're very similar, very, you know, match. They were racing against each other. And I always said to myself, if I made a lot of money one day, enough to, you know, blow on a 40, 50 grand car, I would go out and buy a Delta. But by the time I make £50,000 in my life, there'll be 120. And by the time I make 120, there'll be 250. Yeah. And I will never, ever get one of those cars back. Yeah. And it makes me sad.
Yeah, I check Murcielago prices regularly. I don't know what, I check it as if like, next week.
Next week. Yeah, do the exact same thing.
They're 100 grand. Oh, yeah. They're 150 now.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you know, it's fine. 180, they shouldn't go up too much. And then they're slowly creeping up. We found out the other day that an extremely rough one, what was it, 150?
150 it went for.
And that's rough.
That's a car needing big time work.
So,
I do it as if when I see it, I'll be watching an advert for one and it's up for 200 and something thousand pounds and the advert disappears and I'm like, oh, as if I was going to buy it.
I really like that one. That was perfect.
The spec was really good on that.
I was about to call him and see like,
that could have been around
for moving on price. No. All right. No.
All right. Just wait for me to win the lottery, mate. And I'm coming and getting that car. Ridiculous. No,
the numbers are in. Just wait till Sunday.
Speaking of not buying cars.
Yeah. We got a sad story. You thought the Grand Tour was sad. This is sadder. Actual sad. We were angry. We're still angry.
I'm still really angry.
It's been, what, a week? 2 weeks? However long it's been. It's been too long. Haven't focused since. We mentioned in the last, in one of the last podcasts, the last two or three, whatever it was, we were looking at a Clio V6 at auction, and it was an auction that not many people knew about, what we thought. We went to go and look at said car. It was rough. It was perfect. It was YouTube gold. And it was a Clio V6, a car that both of us have always wanted.
Love.
And again, on those values, we had a quick look before the auction, like 5 to 10 years ago, these were selling for 10, 15, 20,000 pounds.
Nothing.
For good ones, like actually good ones.
Now, 80, 90 grand for a really good one. For a low mileage, rare color, you're coming up to 100,000 pounds.
Yeah. But you're talking minimum 30 grand for like the most basic one that's in, that isn't crash damaged, you know, isn't super high miles. 30 grand is kind of like your entry point, which has doubled basically in like the last 4 or 5 years. So we went to go look at the car. The guy that showed us around it and showed us some bits basically said they haven't had more interest on a car ever. This is like an auction company that usually does vans and stuff, like fleet stuff. So a V6 Clio is kind of weird. So it does stand out, but you have to be in the trade to do it, which we can do. So we thought, this could be a bargain. This could be bargain of the century. So we set up here, literally pretty much here. We recorded it for a video going like, we're going to buy this car. I think we'd already set a bid of 10 grand.
Yeah. So as we said in the last podcast, you guys entering on the Ford Focus giveaway and the Civic giveaway had, thankfully, thank you to you guys, given us some budget to buy our next project car. So we said, 10, we'll start with the 10 grand. We'll push to 15. 15 is like, basically all of our money's gone.
Yeah.
But we can at least have it. Yeah. And then we'll work something out down the line.
So the auction started. We had to wait for 40 lots or 45 lots, whatever it was. We could see it down there. So we'd set a proxy bid, which basically means we'd set a bid before the auction had even started of 10 grand. We were thinking, you know what? We also happened to know that the reserve was 10 grand. So 10 grand, had no one else bid,
we'd be in it.
Got there, started. Came up to 10 grand. Very fast man. The horse racing man started speaking. 11 grand.
Yep.
And then it actually got stalled. It got to 11,600 somewhere there, and it stopped.
This was our bid.
Was it our bid?
Yeah, it was on our bid.
It was our bid. It got to 11,600 and it stalled.
Which, because we went up a bit.
I thought, this is it. And again, to remind you, we set a cap of 15. No more than 15.
No more than 15. 15 is our max.
15.5. Like, we might be bullied into it.
Yeah.
But 15 is the max. 11 grand. It sort of went, the timer went. And then someone bid. And then there was a furious bidding war. It went like 13, 14, 15, 16. And we were like,
we got to 15.5 where we said,
yeah,
that is our absolute, we're already over the threshold. And then became a game of chicken between Will and I.
Yeah, that's not so, which is
if you want to get one of us to do something, pit us against each other, we'll always end up doing something dumb. Because I said, I'll click it, but you have to do the next one. We went, okay. So I clicked at 16.1 or something. And then I said, well, no, I'm not doing it. You don't know, Will. And then Will clicked it and went, well, it's on you now. You have to do it. Which means, that's the worst thing about this. It means if I didn't click, it's on me that we lost it.
Yep.
So I have to click it. So I clicked it.
You have to think on your feet. You got to be brave in scenarios like that.
Yeah, we went up to 17,800. There was a moment where we looked at each other and went, we can't do this. Maybe we'll have to put some of our own money into this this work.
I probably would have done it.
I would
have,
yeah.
We haven't. Again, this is the thing with auctions. When you've also got someone else in there, there was obviously, I think it was one other person. One other person who also wanted it and was willing to pay. Well, they were more brave than we are, basically.
They were.
And it got to like that, I think it was 18. It got to 18 grand thereabouts. And we just said, when we saw 18.
That was the number that was too scary.
Like, okay, we're looking at like 3 grand over our max.
Yeah. And to be clear, if you didn't hear last week, this car was previously crashed.
Yep.
It had a warning for low oil. And when we went to look at it, the dipstick was dry. Yep. Not a single drip of oil on it. So who knows if it's been driven around and basically had a blown engine. It had parts missing all over the car.
Yeah.
The paintwork was some of the worst paintwork I've ever seen on a car. Worse in some places than the Cadillac we had on our YouTube channel. That's how you know it was bad. This car was rough. It needed whatever you spent on it, be it 50 grand, it needed the same spending on it again.
I also found from doing some nerdy research, this is what we do with any car, basically. You know, I think we do more research than most. Some will do this. Some will know the tricks of the trade. But you can Google number plates.
Yeah,
there's a little hint. You can Google number plates. Sometimes do it with a space or without a space, and you will find things.
Facebook as well.
Twitter.
Facebook really good for Twitter because
some pages automatically pull eBay ads through, and some of them read number plates from the images. And I found, by doing that, I found an eBay ad from July of this year, so not that long ago. And that car sold on eBay for 23 grand.
Yeah.
But no mention of anything engine related.
Exactly. And the registered, basically the English version of a pink slip, our V5, it hadn't changed in that time. So whoever went to go and buy that car saw something clearly and went, I'm not buying this. And it stayed with that previous owner.
Yeah. So we think, all right, 23 grand, but with an engine issue. So we think, right, 15, but yeah, someone bought that. Best part of it is
we call someone to spend way more.
Yep, they spent probably £6,000 or £7,000.
Yeah.
It would have sold at like 11.
So if you did buy that Clio and you beat us, firstly, I can't say what I think of you because we're on a family-friendly podcast. But secondly, enjoy the fact that you spent too much.
Yeah.
Thirdly, sell us the car for £15,000, please.
Sell us it for the £11,600 that it was about to sell for before you sent us down a nasty little bidding war. You nasty little man. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it, because you will, because it's really cool and I like them a lot.
But there is actually something that that may have come out of that, that on the same place that we went to the auction, there was, it's quite a big area. It's like an airfield. They have other places that store cars and do other things to do with cars. We've been speaking to some people.
Yeah, the man with the Clio said, yeah, just over there, there's some other cars. They belong to a certain place, which is why we are super secret.
Mystical.
And they went, they might be needing to get rid of some of those cars. So I rung them up and there is a very interesting car.
There are lots of very interesting cars.
But
in our budget.
But the one in our budget, which he kind of mentioned offhand, he went, oh, I've got this thing that you're probably not that interested in. And Will and I went, no, we're very interested in that. What is that?
It's dumb.
It's a stupid idea,
but it's also stupid cheap.
It's worse in basically every facet than the Clio, and that was a really dumb idea.
Yeah.
We don't even know if this could ever drive on the road.
It's possibly illegal.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You'll see that soon, maybe.
So that's where we're at with the Clio. We're very upset. If anyone ever mentions a Clio V6 ever again, I'm going to be upset because I think that was the final opportunity for us to own a Clio V6. When I see one sell for £100,000, that car maybe, I will be done.
I'll be up in the rafters with a sniper rifle.
Okay, I thought that was going to go somewhere else.
Well,
quick rattle through for some channel updates.
Yep.
We've been working on the drag cars, or drag car, actually.
Yep.
BMW 335i, if you've owned one with that N54 engine.
Good luck.
Good luck, mate. I understand all the pains you've been going through. Everything you read on the internet, true.
Yeah.
True.
We said this last night. A lot of cars, you hear horror stories, and you think, maybe you're just being a little bit overdramatic. Maybe you aren't that used to working on cars. All of the horrible issues that an M54 BMW has, that's the engine, by the way, exponentially worse than you can imagine.
Unless you are a machine in a BMW factory, you're not working on that
car. Or Stuart Little, you're not getting in there to fix anything.
You're Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And you can go, I'll get in there and do that. Not possible. We had four men. We had to measure hands to see who could do this particular job. I've never reached into something and had to fit something without actually knowing where it is, just purely on feel.
Yeah,
I felt like some kind of mystic. I was just in there feeling around, I had to slide this. Well, you'll see.
Or you're birthing a cow.
It's worse. I'd rather. Legit, there's more room in a cow than an N54.
Put that on a t-shirt. Let's go.
But honestly, the worst thing ever, if you designed it,
don't design anything anymore.
Stop doing things. Also, they put a V8 in that car.
Yeah, with this easier to.
There's more room in it. Ridiculous. It's fixed, though.
It is fixed and it's quick.
It's fixed.
I'm worried. I'm really quite worried. My S3, I'm going to have to go drastic.
That could be sub £4,000, 400 horsepower.
Sub £3,000 right now.
Sub £3,000 for basically like 350 to, that's obscene.
Yeah, that's crazy money.
That's ridiculous. Also UK, great value for money. Sorry about everyone else.
Sorry, America, thanks.
So that's fixed for free. Also, if anyone has any other like working on car stories, anything where you've read online where something's been bad, it's been worse, tell us. Let us know. We want to hear the story because I want to feel your pain. I don't want to feel your pain. I want to make sure there are other people out there.
What is it?
That are in as much pain.
A joy shared is a joy doubled. A pain shared is a pain halved.
Something like that.
Very nice. An N54 worked on is sad. Put that in a Aesop fable.
Yeah, but so just were actually worst car.
Yeah.
But best car for the money.
What we got next?
And I have slicks.
And you have slicks.
Which, if you're listening, you can hear them.
Imagine slicks.
You can hear them there. I bought some Porsche racing slicks. For £110.
Dumb.
They're used in a race, and I'm going to put them on the back of the 335 to use as drag slicks. I spoke to a friend of ours, Tyre Reviews, Mr. John Benson, said, how dead am I if I put these on the back of a road car? And he sent me a laughing emoji. He said they may have been heated up too many times and be useless.
Well, that's great for me.
So by the time this podcast goes out, I may be not...
Ex-will.
I could be gone. This could be a little obituary at the end, but there you go. Other channel updates... Second channel,
Second channel,
which is what this will be on.
Yes, if you're watching our face right
now, we've launched.
You've seen this channel. And this channel will have this, the podcast. It will have some longer videos that are of the series we've already done. And then also our personal cars that we work on. Because there's lots of those to get through.
Lots.
There's lots of them to get through.
Many. I figured out the other day, I was thinking about this when I was laying in bed thinking about Richard Hammond and Top Gear.
Clip that.
That we, since we started this channel, February, what's that, 6, 7, 9 months, something like that, 14 cars. Just on the channel.
Yes, and a lot of them, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's I forgot about that. We'll also do a little update on every car that's been on the channel. If you're wondering, where's this? We'll tell you.
Yep.
Don't worry, we'll tell you.
We'll tell you how you deal with 14 cars, how you get rid of some of those, where they've gone. Some of them are still here.
Some of them we don't know where they are.
Some of them, if you want to buy them, send us a message. I think that's roughly it.
That's basically all the cars on the channel. Updates. Right. Shall we end with our last little argument? We always like to end the podcast on a high by arguing with each other. Will and I are similar in lots of ways, but also have very differing opinions on lots of car things. So at the end of the podcast, we like to have a little argument and give you kind of a glimpse of what this unit looks like 90% of the day when we're in it.
I've got a good one.
Here we go, sports fans.
This is going to send Edwin into a red mist, and Ben, he will bubble over on this as well. Black wheels, wait, can.
Wrong.
Look
wrong.
Good.
Wrong.
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 But
wrong.
No, but
wrong.
Can.
Wrong.
Can.
Okay, now hold on.
Can.
First, let me get some qualification. Can. Are you saying full gloss black wheels? Are we talking any shade? Because I will admit there are shades of grey and darker wheels that can work. And I will also admit, I'll put my line in the sand, perhaps, that black wheels, if three-piece wheels with black centers,
wrong.
A 90... Whoa.
I know where you're going. It's wrong.
You hold on. So like a 90s Mercedes AMG wheel?
Carry on.
So the 90s AMG wheel called wrong. 80s, 90s. That center black, the rim silver, that's allowed to me.
Fine.
Are you saying wrong in terms of you don't like those?
Wrong on some cars. Like C63s and I think some AMG GTRs or something, they have this. But it's probably like a 19-inch wheel, but they have a silver rim, which means it looks like caster wheels. So the center is black and the rim is silver. I had it on that GTR, those V-spec wheels.
Those look great.
Those look wrong.
Oh, it's such great a wheel, bad opinion.
Great wheel, but it's with just a silver lip, it looks like I've got a couple of RC car wheels on there.
It's so incorrect. Those V-spec wheels are the best GTR wheel you can have.
But if they were all one color.
No, they'd look so bad.
All right, gunmetal.
That's fine. Now okay. I'm on board with gunmetal.
L.
You see, Ben's wrong.
No, hang on. My camera's died. You can't see me anymore.
That's fine. That's great. Ben's not speaking.
But right hang on.
I will cut his mic. Ben, in the edit, cut your own mic.
There is not a single car
I think we're out of time.
Ever seen with grey wheels or black wheels that would not look better with silver wheels.
Ben, your Clio has gunmetal.
And I intend, as soon as I
but
do
you
it.
You haven't.
No, because
you just curb them instead, is that like just a bit?
Okay.
What about brown cars? Should we talk about brown cars?
That car would look worse with black wheels.
No, hold on. We're getting sidetracked here. So
black wheels,
just
can
a full
look
black
good.
Wheel.
And I'm talking satin black. I'm talking gloss black. I'm talking what other? Well, actually, there's only two really. It's matte black, satin black, or gloss black. They
black
are the only
wheels,
two.
They you lose out on any of the shape or form or style that wheel would give you.
But
you might as well just have a black cover on it.
But sometimes you gain an overall look.
I don't agree with it. Because all it looks like, maybe I'll say this. Mid to late 2000s, that might have been true. But now, walk down the street and the first car with black wheels you'll see will be a Polo or it'll be a Fiesta. It's shit cars that now have black wheels because everyone goes, oh, black wheels,
yeah,
sick, bro.
Yeah, but
and they paint their wheels black. And now there is any form of specialness is gone.
Yeah, but that's not fair. That's not fair.
It is fair.
You can't judge all black wheels by like being on a Fiesta.
But
my point is, and here's the point, you can't disagree because you've already said it. Black wheels can look good.
But that's why I'm trying.
Can they?
No,
can.
This is what I'm saying. I'm asking, is the full wheel black? Is there no silver at all?
No.
Because if then
like
I disagree
wheel
with
bolts.
You. Huh?
Wheel bolts. But they should be black as well, in my opinion, on a black wheel.
I'll agree with you. Because of course it should, because it should match the colour of what's in the centre.
Well, you're wrong.
But if it's fully black, The full black wheel?
No,
wrong.
But sure, you can't. That's a blanket statement.
But I stand by it. It does. They do not look good. You lose out on any style that you gained from having those wheels.
Yeah, well, Batman would disagree.
So. Yeah, but Superman flies there.
Niche meme.
Niche meme. Best, if best you know meme. It, yeah. Link it. Batman. Meanwhile, Batman.
If you disagree, I couldn't care less because I don't care.
And if you disagree, my man. And if you agree with Will, L.
I like all the wheels. What I will say.
You like all wheels?
No. I like all colors of wheels. No, sorry. I like silver wheels. I like gunmetal wheels. I like black wheels. If you paint a wheel a color.
Okay.
We did it.
Okay.
We did it. GT3 RS.
No, allowed. No. But what about like T37s in the blue? Or like C28s?
Blue?
Yeah. You like those. I know you have.
Not blue.
I've seen you say you like them.
Blue wheels.
On the Evo 5, there's a satin blue CE28.
I won't have like. Blue.
You've seen it.
No, there's no way. If it's blue, I won't take that.
Okay, what about gold?
Gold's okay.
Oh, that's interesting. That wasn't part of your list.
It's not a colour, it's a material.
Damn it, he's got me there.
Some okay. Gold wheels just don't exist.
There's got
all right,
to be
gold's
another.
All right. Bronze is all right.
Okay. How about, I don't know.
Black wheels aren't
good.
Wheels,
yeah, no, I agree
black
with
wheels
you,
are fine. Black wheels can look good.
Can't look good.
We should have more in this world. Less black and white. More, let's just go, some things can look good. Sometimes it's all
no,
right.
This is my, I've, over time I've realised this. It's, with me, it is black and white.
It's not just yes or no.
It is yes or no.
Sometimes
that's it.
It's maybe.
It cannot be.
Sometimes it's give it a whiz.
It's, you know, we'll have a look. We'll have a look.
Anyway, so that's another argument.
That's a great
that's
argument.
That's
fail
of an argument.
That ends with no opinion changed, absolutely. As always, forever. Let us know your opinion. Also, I was thinking about this. Just get some arguments going in the comments.
Yeah, we could start pitching you against each other. We may not even disagree. We're just trying to stoke the fire.
Yeah.
And go, right, you little argue.
Have a go. It's great. It's cathartic.
Have a go, yeah. There's someone in the comments with a comment you don't like, disagree with
it's
them.
Also, it's cathartic because you know you're right.
Yeah.
I know that you believe you're right and yeah. You know that I believe I'm right, so there will never be a change.
I don't believe I'm right. I believe I'm just.
I believe
in justice for all wheels.
Right, I think that just about does it. As always, yep. Ends in a stalemate. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Cream, get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Very nice. See you next week. Have a good one.
Goodbye.